With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It is the Rider, no Steph, and a different location. We're doing it in the Anfield Rap office, which is nice. Adam's had a lovely time, hasn't he, since he's come in, chatted to everyone, seen a baby.
He came in early, for, you know, snooping reasons, surely.
Seen his friends.
I feel a little bit like like I'm running for election, actually. The time I've just spent in there.
Holding a baby is very election, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, said hello to some people I haven't seen for a while, remembered everyone's name.
Impressively. Chatted away, I felt, to everyone in the office who you don't know that well.
Yeah. Talked about a bright future for our country.
I thought I worked the room, and now here I am being interviewed on a serious programme about my manifesto.
There'll be more general election talk to come, because wasn't that fabulous? That's happening. It's put a spring in everybody I know's step.
Wasn't that fabulous that that's happening? Is the right. I love an election. I said it to Gibbo yesterday. Feels.
You love an election.
Angry's the blood. really puts those grey areas in the bin.
it very much does put those grey areas in the bin, which is no bad thing, I think, to a certain extent. We'll talk about how much they hate us very, very soon indeed. That's to come. Lucky you, no Steph. Not so lucky you, but it means that you've got 9 songs from us and maybe an additional bonus one, because Gibb was actually working on content live in front of us, which has been remarkably exciting. Normally the ride that is planned to within an inch of its life, but this is somewhat of a live show this week, which is glorious. Anyway, the first song is mine. These are Zebra Hunt, and this is a fast one. Fill me with ease. Zebra Hunt, that is Fill Me With Ease. It is an absolute belter.
Belter. Say belter.
It is a belter, isn't it?
Belter.
What do you think it sounded like?
Well, it's funny you should ask that we didn't plan this off air, but I did actually think that he sounds like a cross between Julian Casablancas and Anthony Kiedis, which is weird, but there you go. That's what I thought he sounded like.
I think that you may well be right about that. I thought it was just genuinely exciting song, to be honest with you. It's going to stop playing now, my phone. That is your trick. Normally I have a computer in front of me to sort these things out. I'm trying to find the name of the album that it's going to be coming off in a minute or two. Hopefully I'll be able to find that. The other thing, the music made me think of sort of mid-80s REM, with those sort of clang of slightly dueling, jangling guitars.
The old Rickenbackers. Book on the Rickenbackers. The Buckenbackers.
A lot of our arpeggios. The album's going to be called, I think it's going to be called In Phases, and it's released via a Madrid label, which is all a bit wild.
They're not from Madrid.
No, I think they're from I think that I'm right in saying that they're actually just from the United States. So it's going to be released on Tenorio Coto Bade, and it'll be on Bandcamp amongst other things. It's an absolute belter, to be honest with you, right the way across the board. The actual website I'm looking on now references The Boss, which I can sort of see where they're coming from.
So it's the mid-80s thing again.
So In Phases, that's Zebra Hunt, and we're all very, very pleased with them. I'll probably have a good long listen to that, and as I say, it's out in May, and it'll be on Bandcamp as well. The album's called In Phases.
Hunt zebras, though.
It's not an endorsement.
Yeah, I'd like to say that I don't endorse hunting zebras. Just nice stripy horses.
That's all they are.
Yeah.
Going about the business. Is there any other major difference between them and horses?
I don't really know. I mean, somebody said this to me the other day. I mean, do they neigh?
Do zebras neigh? I don't know. Zebras neigh? No, I don't know. I can't help you. I've got no zebra knowledge.
Do they harumph?
To be honest, because I think they're just stripy horses. For instance, when I go to Chester Zoo, they're not like high on my list.
No.
You just walk. There's certain animals at Chester Zoo you just waltz past unless they're doing something unlikely.
Yeah. I waltz straight past those zebras.
I once saw some very small type of otter playing with stones. And that had my attention. Two otters playing with stones. That was nice.
I like otters. I like otters, especially, you know. I spent a lot of time last week trying to see them in the wild and failing.
But how was Mull?
Mull. It was not just a place, but a state of mind.
We saw the pictures, and I might actually use one of the pictures, the picture of you driving, as the image for this show.
Yeah, it really suits you.
You look like a man who's born to drive a camper van.
That is literally me in my element. That is where I am. I'm at my happiest driving that difficult to control, unwieldy boat of a car. Please do. I'm quite pleased with that picture.
Yeah,
I am in my Centetian tracky top.
What were you listening to?
Probably Future Islands. That tended to be. I'm very on brand with that. But they did have a new album out that came out the day we left or whatever.
I was nicer than one for a long drive,
and it was a good soundtrack to that sort. Look, a lot of their songs are about roads. I realised.
Yep.
When I was listening to it, because it's like 45 minutes long. It's not very long, and it's a really, really long drive. So I had enough time to take it
all on board.
Take it in, yeah. But I didn't get bored with it. What else were we listening to? Oh, I don't know. But yeah, mostly it was Future Islands, the new album, The Far Field.
Of which more later, indeed. Tell me of Mull.
It was unbelievably spectacular as soon as you drive off the ferry. I like ferries a lot. I really, really like ferries. It's my favourite method of transport. I think I might have even mentioned this in the past. I like any mode of transport where you can get up and walk around. So trains, you can get up and walk around. I like trains. Coaches, you can't. I don't like coaches. Ferries, you can. I like ferries. Planes, you can't.
I've
got a bar.
I've got loads of walking around game.
I'm almost always driving. But I do appreciate the bar situation as well, even if I'm only on the T. But yeah, there's a lot of walking around. You can pretty much walk around non-stop and see new things, you know, all the time on a ferry. And then once we got off, we just turned left, and then suddenly it was like a different world. So for a start, there was only one lane of the road. It was a single track road with passing places. And in those passing places, sometimes there was just deer, like all staggy rare, or like an Aberdeen Angus cow or an otter. And it was very much like you might think, but more. And weirdly warm the whole time I was there. Every time I went outside, I thought it's probably going to be cold, and it never was. The Gulf Stream is a fascinating mistress. So we went on a distillery tour, and they said it's often too warm really to store whiskey on Mull. It's too warm. And we went to Iona, which was warmer even again, and had white sand and like little yachts. It was like being in Greece, which is where we saw Jon Snow. As I've shared to you, it was shared with both of you. We met Jon Snow, the newsreader.
Was he nice?
He was lovely.
Of course he was.
He's great.
Very tall, isn't he?
Very tall.
Did it take you absolutely ages to get there?
So on the way there, yeah, it did take quite a while. When I was in a rush because we had to get the ferry, which we missed. But anyway, that's the other reason ferries are sound, because we just got the next one and it was no problem. But on the way back, I was paying a bit more attention to how long it took. We set off at 9 in the morning, and at 5 p.m. we were still in Scotland. So yeah, it does take quite a long time. It was a 12-hour drive back.
I think I'd have to stop.
Yeah, well, we did stop.
No, I mean like overnight.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
Break it up.
Mm. Yeah.
You want to break it up.
That would probably have been a good idea. It's just too long to drive. I think anything over 6 hours is just a bit... You just end up, ugh, I don't know, feeling like you've gone mad.
Yeah.
Even you.
Even me.
Dealing with that big boat.
The big boat, yeah. I think that one of the camper van goes... I decided that it drives the same speed as the clock. Like the minute hand on the clock. That's how fast the camper van is. Never mind miles per hour.
Okay. What are you playing for us, John?
I'm playing I See Rivers, and this song is called Da Ram.
Did you pick it for me?
No.
I love it. We're still recording, that's fine. So this is I See Rivers with Da Ram, and I love it. That is I See Rivers with Da Ram, and John tells me I played them.
Yeah, you played them when we did those mad shows for the Liverpool International Music Festival last summer. We did a bit of radio for them, didn't we? And you picked them on that because they're a Liverpool band, and I do a thing on City Talk Radio called The Sound of Merseyside that I do on a Friday morning with Steve Hothersall, and they came in as the guests a few weeks ago. And I'd seen them live before, but never met them properly. And so we chatted, and then they performed live in the studio, and it was just absolutely brilliant. And it was that good. I've just sort of been listening back to it because we put the interviews on. Well, City Talk put the interviews on Audio Boom afterwards, and so I've been just listening to their live performances of a song called Barefoot, which is also going to be on this EP. So I thought, well, I'll play them, and this is the only one that's out at the moment. So the whole EP is out on April the 21st, which is on Thursday, which might be the day this comes out, in which case, or is it Friday? Whenever April 21st is, but that might be the day this comes out. So, yeah. So you might be able to download it now, or if not, you can listen to this song on SoundCloud. But they're just lovely girls, and they're absolutely amazingly talented. They're Norwegian, which you might have picked up on accent-wise, but they all three of them are Norwegian, but they all live in Liverpool now, so they're very much a Liverpool band. But that EP, Standing Barefoot, is one to download because, yeah, I really like that one, and the one they performed for us at City Talk was beautiful as well. So, yeah, and get on That Thing I Do if you're interested in what's going on in Liverpool. If you're not in the area and you can't listen to City Talk at 9 a.m. on a Friday morning, they always put it up and I always retweet it. So have a little look at my Twitter. There's good guests and stuff like that, and it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun, and it's a nice way to take music into an unlikely direction on City Talk as well.
They've been really good with it, you know, because
Steve loves it.
Yeah, Steve does love it, and it's generally quite hard. No matter what city you're in, really, to get on commercial radio in your city, it's surprisingly difficult. And so they give 45 minutes every week to emerging artists and things like that, so that's really good. IC Rivers have got a tour, by the way. They are playing 20th of April in St Luke's Church, and then 5th of May in the LP Cafe in Watford, 6th of May in the Basement in London, 7th of May Artist Open House Brighton, 10th of May Inkspot Art and Craft in Cardiff, 11th of May the Druid Stone, Haverford West, 12th of May the Laundrette in Bristol, 21st of May the Jam Cafe in Nottingham. I'm going to be there next month with the Shipbuilders. 22nd of May, me and Mrs. Fish in York. 23rd of May, you've got the Red Brick Vintage Warehouse in Liverpool. Where's that?
The what?
The Red Brick Vintage Warehouse in Liverpool. Is that a weird Baltic thing? Is it the one on Jamaica
Street? Called Red Brick.
Is it there? I don't know. Texting. 28th of May, Ernest in Newcastle. And then 29th of May, York's Cafe in Birmingham. So there you are. Go and see them. They're really, really good. They can all sing beautifully.
Excellent stuff. As I said before,
which I like in a band.
Love that to pieces. Absolutely adore it. Adam, what is gig of the week?
Gig of the week. Oh, it's in Kane's Brewery, the Red Brick Vintage Warehouse.
Oh, there you go. Effin's in there now. Everything apart is from there. Beer. Swerved beer hard on everything else.
So gig of the week. It is in Alberta. Alberta, Calgary and let me try and pronounce this correctly, Ari Tistruta. I don't know if that's pronounced correctly. Sorry, Ari.
It felt as though it was, Adam. I'm not going to lie to you. I was impressed with that.
Yeah, that'll do.
I'll tell you more about the actual gig afterwards. But yeah, so I'm going to play Timber. I hate that name, to be honest. I hate saying it, but they were a really good band. We played Hot Dreams by them, which is one of my favourite songs of the past few years. They're a bit Tinder Sticksy, and a bit nationally, I suppose.
I could not release the inspiration till you asked me to. Came at your body relentlessly throughout the year. Or too far away, too near the shore, this honeymoon. I was a stranger, too familiar and not enough. But I once saw the touch of your velvet hand upon my face. I recall velvet gloves and spit in your embrace, and I wanted nothing else. The haunted hotel room, the two-bit man child. I could not simply fall asleep next to you every night. Our castle in the sand, built too high too soon.
palms and waving sails and waves. Goodbye. Well, I once saw the touch of your velvet hand upon my face. I recall velvet gloves and spit in your embrace. Oh, I once saw the touch of your velvet hand upon my face. But I recall velvet gloves and spit in your embrace. Then I wanted nothing else.
Timber Tombra, Velvet Gloves and Spit.
That was well handled, Neil. Timber Tombra, that's them. So yeah, their new album is called Sincerely Future Pollution. It's just come out. Good name.
Yeah.
So that was Gig of the Week for Ari. And so the gig is actually on Wednesday the 3rd of May. And it is in the Commonwealth Bar and Stage. So get over to that. They're a Canadian band, I think, Timber Tombra. I'm not sure where exactly they're from. Probably Montreal, if these things are all being as normal.
Okay. All right, then. Excellent stuff. What you got up to this weekend, John?
Friday, I went to a wedding with you in Barnsley. We had lots of fun.
Wasn't the wedding amazing?
It was really, really good. There was lots of music, and all of it was excellent. Well in. Mark and Kate, that was boss. And then Saturday, we drove home, and then I went to the Food and Drink Festival in Sefton Park, which was good fun. Mainly hung out at the Salt Dog Slim's tent. I like Salt Dog Slim's a lot. I like their vibe. They all treat you like you're their best friend, but not in an annoying way. Do you know what I mean?
Where? In Salt Dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always all right in there, isn't it?
Yeah.
They are quite sound. I don't know how they've managed that.
Yeah, they've steadily employed some people who just act like the police to see you.
That'll be it. I was thinking today about how I've had a couple of experiences of independent coffee places where they treat you like they hate you, and I'm thinking, why? They're nice to me in Costa. Why are these people like this in these independent coffee places?
Yeah, maybe it's a vibe. Yeah,
Neither of those were in Liverpool, actually. I hasten to add, none of your Bolton coffees. So
I was in the Salt Dogs tent thinking, I like Salt Dogs, I should drink them more.
Cocktails are pretty cheap too.
They are, yeah.
Like £5.
Yeah, they do. They set them on fire. They're not afraid of it. So that was Saturday, and then I had the day of the night because Sunday we went to West Brom. We were up early, and then we drank forever, which isn't big or clever. And then Monday I had family around to us, and Laura cooked, and I slept on the sofa till it was time to eat.
Is that what you did?
Pretty much, yeah. No, I entertained children and stuff like that as well, in between napping. And that was good. And then, yeah, that was it. So, long weekend, nice one. Feel like I packed a lot in.
It's a belter. A belter, in fact. All right, Adam, what did you get up to when you got back from Mull?
Oh, I had a big sit down. after that drive, even though obviously a drive is a big sit down. And then did some Eastery type things, went for a meal, and did a Greek game where you dye eggs red and then you like hit them together and say whatever Happy Easter is in Greek. It's like Christos Anestis or something. Christos Anestis.
Sounds mad.
You hit the eggs together and one of them breaks and one of them doesn't, so it's a bit like Conkers, and then you're on to the next round and eventually one egg is a champion and then nothing happens. But yeah, did that at Mum's. She's decided like that we always did this but we never did. she's getting more Greek as the years go on. And don't know. Oh yeah, painted my front door. It's a bit boring really, but yeah, sanded my front door and painted it, and so we are now like a nice looking house. Nice.
I like
it. It's not blue anymore.
Excellent stuff. Well worked.
Tories in the bin.
More of that to come. Anyway, these are Love Speak with Novocaine featuring Max Frost.
Vertrag auch. Geld. Da kriegt angeblich.
High again, my blood's gone thin. Sunday morning. There's my girl, yeah, she's alright. I'll stay all day. Wasting cash, talking trash. Oh, I know that it won't last. Hanging loose, what's the use? I've got nothing left to prove. Touch the sky.
Driving in the velvet blue.
that is Love Speak with Novocaine featuring Max Frost. At the moment, they're a Norwegian act. That's them.
It's good.
Yeah, it's really good, isn't it? Yeah, I'm very pleased with it indeed. So they're going to be sort of, I think there's more to come from them. I very much think you're going to hear more of it from me throughout the next couple of weeks. I've very much got my eye on them. They had a strong, they got a lot of interest last year. So I think it's interesting that, you know, they got them, ended up with a lot of interest around their around the sort of the SoundCloud page, but I think that this is now going to lead to a new album, which is pretty exciting. So that should be coming up soon. And they're just at Love Speak on Twitter, so you can find them from Oslo and more of that kind of thing. I don't know much about Max Frost other than the fact that he's got the sort of name of a baddie in a Batman film.
Norway Sound, though, isn't it?
Oh, great fellas.
The Norwegians.
Yeah. It's going to be a general election. How are you feeling?
Pumped.
Are you actually pumped?
Pumped. Oh yeah.
Oh, you're pumped.
I am, yeah.
I'm skepticism of pumped. Skeptical of pumped.
Pumped, yes. I don't want to stop saying it, actually. But I
am. You're
I
pumped.
I know I started it. Yeah, I love an election. I don't like all the grey areas. But nobody really does anything unless there's an election on now.
Yeah.
There's not really been, like they spent, well, certainly if you're in opposition, they just spend ages not really doing a great deal. Because it's like, well, when the election comes, then you'll find out. So at least you find out what everyone wants, what everyone's saying. And yeah, I don't know. Like I quite like the idea that they've that Theresa May's just like daring people not to vote for her now.
Yeah, I think it's going quite well so far.
I do.
Like, I mean, admittedly, it's from a low base.
A low base in an echo chamber.
Yeah. So that,
what
know.
An echo chamber it is.
So yeah, there was that, but like, I don't know. I feel like I listened to a lot of radio today and everyone was slagging Theresa May off. And people like moan about the BBC and their politics coverage and stuff. But I listened to the Nick, what's his name, interviewed her on Radio 4. Theresa May. That's him. And he slaughtered her. He was like, he wasn't having it. He wasn't having any of it. And I was like, yeah, go ahead, Robbo, lad.
Then, always liked you. When I went yeah, against you. Even then, that time when Neil said he'd throw you off a bridge.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the bridge thing.
and then I had Five Live on. And they
Neil
had,
you said that anyway? Go on.
I had Five Live on before and they had some other cats on. You know, the politicians and that. I didn't recognise any of the voices and he'd already introduced them by the time I started listening. But yeah, they were like, they weren't having it. They were like, she's got to do the telly. And she's not going to do the telly. And they might empty chair, mightn't they? That's the talk. She's going to get an empty chair. And then, I don't know, what do you do then? Running halfway through?
I don't think you do running halfway through.
Do what?
Well, basically, if there's an empty chair and then they start the show and everyone's going, oh, where's May? Do you reckon she'd run in halfway through? Yeah, so do you think she'd wait and see what the Twitter said?
That'd be like the wrestling. That would be a lot, like, as is my understanding, that's how the wrestling goes. She runs in halfway through and hits the rest of them with the empty chair.
Yeah. They'd at least have a purity about it. Yeah, I don't know if it's going that well. I'm glad to be around people who feel as though it's going that well.
Yeah, honestly.
What took me aback is the front page of the papers, and you might say, well, why would you be surprised by the front page of the papers? But just the sheer...
I don't think we should stop being shocked by the front of the
papers. No, I think it's really important to be shocked by the front of the papers. I thought Crush the Saboteurs is just... It's unbelievable rhetoric, to be honest with you. It really is, and it's a reminder that... And, you know, John...
That was the front page of The Sun or The Mail?
That was The Mail. The Sun was Blue Murder.
Yeah, because, you know...
Nice, it's nice, isn't it, talking about murders?
Yeah, in the context of MPs.
And that never happened.
And I'm just at the sort of point where I, you know, and I know that the people, they sort of just hate us. And that's what's coming clear. And I know, trust me, you know, you can go back everything I've ever said on all of these shows, me taking the piss out a bit to the south, whenever people refer to Wolves, general sort of stuff around Tories. But I'm sort of the view that these people hate us and that they genuinely hate us and that we have a bit of a laugh. And loads of people on our side aren't nice. That's not my point at all. It's just that I'm not saying it's a niceness thing, but that there's genuine hatred here. This is the articulation of hatred in terms of what it is that you think and what it is that you're about, and that, you know, that it really is becoming, and that it's going to become so deeply unpleasant across the 50 days between now and then, because that's their day one. That's their big day one. Imagine what they're going to do next. And I just think it's the reduction of the country to this bigger and bigger fuck off culture war. that is just absolutely brutal and does and will turn into, and probably will with the results, turn into us looking like an unbelievable minority that I don't even necessarily think that we are up against all these places that you perceive as being, broadly speaking, in the middle of nowhere, but where there's, they get to feel as though there's more of them because they're going to get, they're probably going to get the results.
Probably, you know, I don't know. Maybe I just like elections because I do kind of feel like that all the time anyway. Maybe there's a war. And like, and it's quite nice when
everyone else joins
when it's
in.
Obvious that there's a war. It's like, there's the true colours.
Because I think you know, the one thing I'd say on this is normal. I've been thinking anyway. Like, I was actually thinking after 2015 that I was going to try and cool my. I can't believe, you know, if you're a Tory X stuff. And I am going to still try and do that because, firstly, I don't think that's a position to persuade people from. So the only thing I'm going to sort of say to the people who maybe will be listening to this, who will be genuinely considering voting Conservative, for any one of a variety of reasons, is you're throwing your lot in with The Sun and Blue Murder and The Daily Mail and Crush the Saboteurs. So you might have your reasons for feeling as though you want a Tory government. And you know what? Across the electoral sort of argument and political arguments, listen, I don't think I'm right all the time. I'd like there to be more of a Conservative presence in the city of Liverpool. I think that'd be good for Liverpool in general. So, you know, I think that it should be about the back and forth of ideas and not about sort of complete dominance of one set of ideas over another. So I want to be really clear about that. But if that's what you're thinking of doing, if that's genuinely what you're thinking of doing, then just remember who your friends are, because your friends are those people. They're the people who want you. They want you to come with this. And I just think that that's terrifying. And I think that rhetoric should be seen as terrifying rhetoric, and it should be seen as rhetoric to downright avoid. And I think that that's something which I'd be looking to emphasise at every turn, really, throughout this, is just sort of who you want to be happy the day after the election and how happy you want them to be. And the idea that, for instance, you're able to say that Saboteurs have been crushed is just yak.
It's horrible, isn't it? I like the
loads of people on the left I don't want to be happy either, by the way.
Oh, there is, yeah, there, of course there is.
I like the Progressive Alliance idea, by the way.
Yeah, that's come recently, hasn't
it?
I've
always liked the Progressive Alliance. I'd like them to be... At this stage, because it's quite quick, it's almost like you could do anything you want now. We could just say, yeah, we'll join the SNP, sure, whatever. Or
crazy days.
Or just send some like a very well respected Labour politician in a safe seat to go on every single TV show and like with an air horn and shout when they lie. Just do something mad. I don't know.
Angela Regal.
Yeah.
A good shout. I'd take your point, John. By the way, I do take your point, but yeah, there's individuals. Knocking around.
It's all fun and games until someone you love gets old, and then you really don't want the Conservatives to be in charge.
But there's that. But I think there's also the I'm trying the right way to phrase it. And I don't think I'm articulating this very well at all. Like, it's for front pages of national newspapers to run like that. John, my thing on this.
There's
individual bullies, yeah. And there's individual people who I don't like, and there's individual people who are to the right of me who connect themselves to the Labour movement who I don't like, and who are to the left of me who connect themselves to the Labour movement who I don't like. You know, I don't like John McTiernan, and I've got no time for it whatsoever. I don't see the point. But my point is that these people are always individuals.
Yeah.
Whereas this is an en masse thing called for by the Prime Minister, effectively, in the language that she's used, which is to basically say that anyone who opposes anything now that I think is fundamentally bad and needs to be fucked off. And the papers have literally gone with that. Those two newspapers, awful newspapers, have gone, Sam, we're banging to that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Sorry, I think my example with that is with the BBC. It's like, I've got loads of issues with the BBC, both in terms of how it's funded and how they respond to criticism. But if there was a vote to keep them, you would, because the people on the other side are the worst lads in the world.
Yeah.
And I think that's it.
It's sort of similar, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just not that surprising. I always think this whenever there's coverage of some, you know, some election, it's a fixed election in Italy or a corrupt politician in Russia. I always think, well, we've got that, but nobody ever really seems to make any fuss about it. America, everyone's obsessed with America. We had a fixed election too.
I think it's mad that I don't think it's mad that she's called it, but I think that the whole scenario of having talked endlessly about not calling it and then calling it, I just think it's absolutely
mad. Honestly, we're very uncritical of our own country, I think, as a nation. Four lock tuggers. Anyway, she's put her head on the block, and it'd be really funny if we chopped it off.
Yeah.
Not literally, sorry, that's me using that rhetoric.
Don't use that rhetoric,
sorry,
but yeah.
I'm not using that rhetoric. But yeah, she's put herself on the line there.
She has, but I mean, as I say, she'll almost certainly be fine. There's tons and tons of reasons why.
But what's fine, like, if... See, I think a kind of a narrow win, is a bit of a loss for her.
Oh, no, I think so as well, yeah.
I think, like, you know, and I'm not saying that's what I'm aiming for out of this, because, you know, that's still a kind of bad situation for a lot of vulnerable people in this country. But I think, like, I don't think it's going to go as well for her as I think. I think she's in a really bad position with Scotland now, because she's basically said, well, we need another election because of Brexit stuff. But oh no, we can't have another referendum in Scotland when they've got more of a reason to. So I think there's been loads of criticism. There's loads of pressure from Scotland. There's loads of criticism there. I think
the attitude from the Conservative and Unionist Party and their leadership towards Scotland and Northern Ireland is an absolute fucking disgrace. It is an absolute unbelievable disgrace, and I agree with you. You know, the risk of that Northern Ireland still isn't sorted out, anywhere near sorted out, in both in the grand pictures, but also in the recent aftermath of what's happened with both Brexit and also what's happened with their parliament. And I just think that to have done this, when you say you put yourself in a bad position, put the whole country in a bad position, it's downright irresponsible.
They're not bothered about Northern England, never mind Northern Ireland.
What else do you think, John?
I don't know if I think anything else. I think it'd be interesting to see how it plays out. I think, as I say, I've been a bit surprised the last couple of days with you know, people say kind of, you know, oh, Corbyn gets a hard time with the press, which I think is largely true, although I think it's a lot of it of his own doing. And I think, you know, people say that the Tories have got a free ride. Well, that's not at all what I've seen over the last 24 hours, which is really heartening. I think, you know, there is so much holes in kind of what they're saying, and I think there's a lot of good Labour MPs who I'm hoping will be on television lots, persuading
with their horns
if necessary, persuading people that there is a kind of a strong alternative, and you've just got to try. And it's not an ideal situation because, you know, they didn't know it was coming, but if you can get a strong single message that basically we know the country's in a really bad place, but we can make it fairer and we can make it better and we can make it work for you, I think people will listen to that. Whether enough people will listen to that remains to be seen, but I don't know it kind of feels like the leadership of Labour's become a little less important, and I think it's just kind of getting as many strong voices, including Jeremy Corbyn, who I think will do fairly well in between now and the election.
I'd be a lot more confident with Corbyn and Labour, I think, if it wasn't for the they've tied themselves in knots around Brexit. I just don't think they should have voted for it. Shouldn't have led the whip to vote for it. And I know the argument for it, but I just think that's put them in a really difficult position compared to, like, the Liberal Democrats, they can just say.
I'm not really sure. I don't think. I think
it was dead hard.
I think it was dead hard, and I think you can still say because I think the Tories have gone so hard on it. I think you can say, you know, we're going to keep some of it and still seem like, you know, they're the better people. And I think, you know, I think it's easier for Labour to find like a third way.
they seem to have forgotten that they were for Remain, though. Their policy was for Remain.
Yeah.
Now, I think they've gone too far into saying this is what the people want. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they did vote for it, though. So it's in a difficult position. And I think you've got. I think the best bet, which is where they'll go, is to say, okay, we voted for Remain, but that doesn't mean you scrap everything. It doesn't mean you do it without speaking to, you know, ordinary people as well as Parliament, and it doesn't mean that we kind of abandon everyone who felt it was important. And I think that can be kind of a way through it, really, because I don't know. I guess that's kind of the only choice you've got. But I think you can fight on different things. I don't think Brexit's going to come up that much. I think you know, it's a phony war almost. Yeah. The reason is they were 20 points ahead of the polls, so they thought, oh, whoa, let's do it now. I don't think Brexit is as important to people as being made out. I think some people are very upset that we've left. I don't understand that, especially if you're an EU national, you might have to leave. But I think even Brexit was fought over other stuff. You know, even when we were voting on Brexit, a lot of people were actually voting on other things. And so I think, like, I don't think it's going to come up loads. I don't think, you know, if a Labour MP was knocking on my doorstep tomorrow, I won't be asking them about Brexit.
It should be about, because, well, Corbyn was elected for me. Corbyn's election was a referendum on austerity. and people wanted to hear that argument,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, so, yeah, this is unnecessary.
So that that I think is I'm pleased to have the opportunity to vote against austerity, and that's I think part of the reason why I'm happy there's a general election.
Okay. It's yours next, Adam. Come on.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah. Oh, hello. It's a band that I saw at the Threshold Festival the other week, John.
Oh, yeah.
I said John, because, you know, you were yep. there. We nearly saw each other. and so this is Table Scraps with Electricity.
Table Scraps, Electricity.
Yeah, that was Table Scraps. They're from Birmingham, and yeah, as I say, I saw them at the Threshold Festival. They were really good. They're a three-piece and a riffy. And that was from their album, More Time for Strangers. They've got a single coming out, I think it's like next week, called My Obsession. But it's not out yet, so I can play it. But anyway, that was them.
Excellent stuff. Great. We'll move along a little bit because we've been talking quite a lot so far. So these are Van Bott, and this song's called Not That Kind, open brackets, Moscow, close brackets. We'll talk about that and our favourite train journeys in a second.
Thank you.
That is Van Bott with Not That Kind of Moscow, which is about they did a... The album was made as they were moving along the Trans-Siberian Railway. And it was entirely recorded on that journey. I think it took them 17 days. Hence, Moscow. I've not listened to the whole album. I've listened to three or four. I've thought they're all really, really good, though supposedly there's a review on Pitchfork which says they don't really manage to sustain it across the whole record. But I think it sounds like something like very much worth listening to. So it's called Siberia, and it's by a band called Van Bott. So give it a go, and I really love that, Not That Kind, which I think sort of opens it out there. So that's them going on the Trans-Siberian Railway, which made me wonder what your favourite ever train journeys are, gents.
I like a train journey.
I know you've discussed earlier
walk
on.
Around.
You can walk around a bit, get up, stretch your legs.
I did the middle of Vietnam to Hanoi.
Oh, aye.
That was a good one.
That sounds like a belter.
Yeah, it was a good one. Very far.
I knew you both have exotic ones. You see, mine are probably just a little bit.
I did the other way. I did middle to bottom, which wasn't as good. It was a bit disappointing.
Was it? Yeah. It was good arriving into Hanoi. It was cool because you sort of just like. In people's houses.
I think my favourite place to arrive to on the train is probably Durham. Like, that's pretty spectacular. Really? On the train, it's great. Like, you're in amongst it.
I like that about Edinburgh.
Yeah, Edinburgh's a good one. A really good train journey, actually, is if you fly to Southampton, or just be at Southampton Airport, get there how you want, and then up to Bournemouth. It goes through the New Forest. So last year we flew to Bournemouth away because it was cheap and we were feeling a bit flush. And so we flew in the morning, then the train, it goes through the New Forest, which is a really nice part of the world, then it goes along the coast along to Bournemouth. That's a really nice train journey. And,
that sounds fabulous.
Yeah.
I like anything to do with Bournemouth.
I loved just briefly going from Budapest Airport to just the city of Budapest, in that, you know, it was the old style, huge carriages, massive spread. Yeah, it was absolutely
Central Europa.
Yeah, grabbed me. That's the one that always stood out for me, is just sort of marvelling at a fantastic train journey. Anyway, John's up next. What have you got for us, John?
It's Elaine May, and the song is called "The Colour of the Night."
Dark.
Elaine May, the colour of the night.
Yeah, the colour of the night. Adam gave it away there before it. But
very, 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 very dark blue.
She's Irish, Elaine May, and she's got an EP of the same name, and the launch is on Friday, the May the 5th, at the Workman's Club in Dublin. Or if that's not handy for you, on the 6th of May, she goes to Galway and does a bit there, which is nice of her. Two EP launches, two different places. Maybe she likes both cities equally and couldn't choose.
Good on her.
Yeah.
excellent.
That's my
stuff.
Theory.
I like that a lot, by the way.
Yeah, it's boss, isn't it?
Thought it was really, really cool indeed. So Elaine made the colour of the night. That is an absolute belter.
It's very fresh as well. It had only been on SoundCloud for 2 hours when I listened
to it, and it had only been on for four when you sent it, and I was like, he's done well here, John. Yeah, I didn't notice that. I was like, yeah.
Finger on the pulse.
It just doesn't come much fresher unless she actually sent it to you before as she recorded it.
Just give me a heads up.
John, have a listen to this and maybe play it on that podcast.
Have you got the Elaine May app where you're getting push notifications?
Over.
Adam, you're playing basically your faves.
Yeah, you know. I feel like it's fine. Do you think I play them too much?
No, I'm quite relaxed with it. I think someone's got to. I like a bit of championing. And plus on this show, it's fair to say, I think we played Frank Ocean more times than his ma over the last 3 months. And I haven't resented it at all because they're all belters. So, yeah.
Someone's got to play Future Islands and it's me. More to follow. But yeah, this is from their new album. And this is Future Islands.
Future Islands, Debbie Harry.
Future Islands, Debbie Harry.
Adamelia.
Adamelia, The Far Field is the new album. It was out the other week, on the 18th of April or something like that. And we are going to see them soon, and there's all sorts of things.
Do they remain the favourite band in the Amelia canon?
Yeah, I think so.
I haven't listened to it yet, so they've just done more of the same. I haven't listened to the album. I've heard the two songs you played.
I think I was thinking about it, and I think they've probably perfected the things that I like about them. There's not any really drawn out almost sort of metal ones, doom metal ones, and I can't be bothered with them. I prefer it when they're a bit dancier. This one with Debbie Harry that you've just heard is great, especially the bit where she sort of does an impression of him. their voices, as you've just heard, sound great together. And that's like the second to last track on the album, and I found that I was singing it straight away just after I'd heard it. Catchy,
like shadows.
Like that.
Excellent stuff. Right, thank you very much for listening this week. We're not going to do the politics stuff every week, I don't think, though we might go mad.
Depends if Labour surge.
It depends what sort of face Steph's giving us when we're doing that next time.
Well, I think she might want to get stuck in herself, frankly.
Will. I know, that's what it could go either way. Yeah, she's a real swing voter.
I don't think she is. But anyway.
Swing voter with how she feels about us.
Yes, oh, very much so. Yeah, very much so. She's Mondeo man with how she feels about us.
She just changed her mind on a lot of things, so who knows? I mean, you know. I don't think she likes the Tories, but we might have said that about Drake.
And look at him now.
Yeah.
All right, then, thank you very much indeed. John, what are you playing us out with?
I'm playing Flora Cash with California. It's from an album called Nothing Lasts Forever, brackets and It's Fine, which is out on Friday as well. Loads of music for you to buy on Friday. So, yeah, there we are.
It is Flora Cash. Thank you very much to everybody. Thanks for listening. This is California.
Something true, said it's gonna be okay when the rain don't fall. Sitting on your roof, baby, we came a long way. Have you thought it through? Don't leave me, darling, don't you need me? California sun running on the repeat. Don't jinx this, darling, we were restless. California sun running on the repeat. California sun running on the repeat. California sun, California sun. All that we got is a dream and a clock, and we don't believe anything that they say, cause we won't believe anything that they say. All that we need is to sweat a little bleed. If we can't believe it, then nobody gonna come. If we can't believe it, then nobody gonna come. California sun, running on the repeat.
Social Podcast Network.